Well, hello and welcome to the Morning Manna podcast. I'm so glad that you've joined me. We are in Psalm 5 today, and Psalm 5 is a Psalm of David, and there's a lot to learn. I'm not sure if we'll get through the whole thing this morning, but we will see. So we're going to learn a little bit about prayer, about the nature of God in this psalm. And so the first thing I want to draw your attention to is what we pray. A lot of people wonder, how do I pray? What should I pray about? So verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. So here's a clue for the Christian on what to pray. What are you groaning about? What is it that just you go, you're troubled by it. Maybe it's a personal issue that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a relationship that you're dealing with. But it causes you to groan when you think about it. Listen, the groan is your cue to pray. That's what you pray about. Well, secondly, not only what we pray, David groaning and bringing his groanings to God, but secondly, who we pray to, and that's verse 2. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. So David is being super intentional here. God, my King, to you do I pray. To you. Thirdly, I'm having a hard time seeing, didn't bring my glasses this morning, apologize for that. How we pray. Verse 3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. I love that. In the morning. So David is saying that at the outset of the day, the first thing I'm going to do is to pray. The first fruit of the day, the first fruit offering of the day. You probably know that there was in the Old Testament a first fruit offering, which was when the high priest would take a sheaf of grain and would take that sheaf, and then in a religious ceremony at the temple would wave it before the Lord as this is the first fruits from the harvest. And so, Lord, the first is yours, the first and the best. And so that's a principle that's throughout Scripture. And so the first fruit offering of our day, prayer unto God. And boy, if you can develop that kind of a rhythm and that discipline, it helps set things right. It really does. But then notice that I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. Isn't that beautiful? I watch. I'm anticipating answers. I'm looking for your fingerprints on my day, Lord. My spiritual antenna is up, and Lord, I want to walk in an awareness of your presence in my life, looking for you to move, looking for you to answer. And so we develop that when we develop our prayer life and giving the first fruits of our day to the Lord. Well, fourthly, I want to point out the fear that we delight in. And I put that way for a reason. But here's what it says in verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Okay, know this about God, that he does not delight in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate, rather, all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So know this, that God is holy. He's righteous. He's not a man that he should lie. And so he hates those things. So that ought to come to us in our relationship with God to hate the things that he hates. There is a biblical hate. It's proper to hate. It's proper to love. So the question needs to become, what's the qualifier? What do we love? It's not always biblical. It can be sinful to love. What do you mean? Love not the world. 1 John 2:15. That's a sinful love. And conversely, it's proper to hate as long as what you hate is proper. Hating lies, hating deceit, hating impurity. And those are the things we want to develop in our lives because that's becoming Christ-like. Well, fifthly, the grace, I can't read it, so I'm just going to read the verse. My writing's bad. So verse seven, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Isn't that beautiful? He's not pleading his morality before the Lord. He's not saying, you know, those guys are evil, but me, however, I've got it all together. No, David is pleading the grace of God, his steadfast. It's because of you, Lord, that I will stand in your house. It's because of you that I have access to you. I'm a sinful man like everyone else, but because of your grace and mercy, you've made a way for me. Listen, that keeps us from becoming proud. That keeps us from becoming arrogant. And so when we know that we have nothing to boast of, none of us are going to be boasting in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be glorifying the God who saved us, who rescued us. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies of God, when we wanted nothing to do with God, that's when God acted on our behalf. And by embracing his grace, we are made right with this holy, righteous, perfect God. But make no mistake, there's a lot of talk today, a lot of talk about, you know, God not being wrathful or judgmental and so on, and people trying to divorce the God of the Old Testament from Jesus in the New and all that kind of thing. Listen, that is a grave error. God is God. And yes, he is love, but he hates what is evil. And those who persist in their sin and in their evil to their death will find themselves judged by this same God who is love. And you say, well, how can you reconcile that? You don't reconcile it. God is God. You embrace the truth of the Lord and accept his mercy and his grace. That's the deal. That's the story, folks. He loves you, even in your sinfulness, but he wants to do a work in your life. God bless you guys.